Okay, so we're going to talk about maftir today. Our Gemara starts with a question. The Gemara asks, maftir mahu sheya'ala leminyan sheva. Can the maftir count to the seven aliyahs for Shabbos? Presumably, though it's not entirely clear, and we'll see that it gets a little bit more complicated as we go, it's not entirely clear this will apply to, let's say, the three on a weekday leaning, or the five for Yom Tov, or etc. But the Gemara frames it in terms of seven. Just like it said by Hakol Olin Leminyan Sheva, that anyone can count to the seven, and the Rishonim debated, does that mean that an Isha and a Katan could also count to the three, or not? That was the discussion we saw there. So the Gemara asks it as a question, and then presents a debate. Maybe you should say that the Maftir can count, because after all, the Maftir is reading from the Torah, so who cares why he's reading from the Torah? He's reading, he should count as one of the seven readers. On the other hand, the Gemara says, no, maybe he shouldn't count, because the fact that a maftir reads is only because of kavod ha-Torah. It's only for the honor of the Torah that the maftir should read. We'll talk about what that means in just a moment. And since the maftir only reads because of kavod ha-Torah, so his reading maybe isn't a real reading and should not count. Okay. And then the Gemara tries to bring a couple of proofs. And the Rishonim will also try to bring a couple of proofs of how exactly we're going to Paskin. But that's the major issue in the Gemara. And the Gemara, interestingly, doesn't actually resolve this question. Right? We don't end with a final proof. Actually, the Maftir does or doesn't count. If I asked you, you know, before we started today, so what's our practice? Does the Maftir count? We would say no, of course, right? Anyone who's ever had the misfortune of serving as a gabbai would know that you have to, you know, not only get seven aliyahs, you also have to get another person to do maftir, and you have to make sure the maftir is someone who knows how to do the haftorah, and it's a lot more work for a gabbai. It'd be much easier if you were able to count the maftir as one of your seven. I daven at hashkama minyan, so in the way of many hashkama minyan, and we're pretty small, and most people are doing at least one thing over the course of davening, sometimes two things over the course of davening. So if we could get rid of one, we'd be very happy. So we'll try to deal with a couple of questions. We'll first try to explain what exactly this idea of Kavod HaTorah actually is. We'll try to explain why Kavod HaTorah would mean that the Maftir can't count, right? That question is not entirely obvious. And then we'll try to track down some of the applications of this principle Lamaisa. There's, you know, the obvious one, like, do you need an extra aliyah for Maftir? And how we paskin in that question, and a couple of other trickle-down questions. So starting from this first question, you know, why a maftir needs to read from the Torah in the first place? So our Gemara says it's because of Kavod HaTorah. It quotes this in the name of Ula in our Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Ula mibnei ma-maftir b'navi tarach shi'ikra b'torah t'chila mibnei Kavod HaTorah. Also quoted in the Gemara Masechet Sota as well, without the reason of Kavod HaTorah, but the principle that the Maftir needs to first read from the Torah before reading from Nevi'im is mentioned. And Rashi here says very simply that the idea of Kavod HaTorah is that the honor of Torah and the honor of the Nevi'im, from which we read the Haftorah, should not be equal. So how does reading from the Torah solve that problem? So the Rimi Lunil, you know, articulates it as follows. We'll see another articulation in just a moment. The Rimi Lunil, one of the Rishonim, says that it would be a disgrace to the Torah that there should be a person who reads from Nevi'im and doesn't read from the Torah. Right? Because then what it would imply, and the Bach in Shulchan Aruch articulates it very similarly, is that, so there are two mitzvahs during the day of Shabbos, let's say, use Shabbos as a paradigm. There's a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, and then there's a mitzvah of Kriyas HaNevi'im. And you would think these are two independently equally significant mitzvot. So the point of having a maftir connect himself to the Torah before reading from the Nevi'im is to show that there's no such independent mitzvah of reading from Nevi'im. It's just a sort of secondary attachment to Kriyat HaTorah. It may be a replacement for Kriyat HaTorah, if that's why it was instituted in the first place, exactly. And so in order to show that it's secondary, we make even the person who does that connect himself back to the Kriyat HaTorah. That is one way of trying to articulate this value. Well, yeah,
why
please.
Why would say Kaddish? To separate, to show that there's a difference between reading Torah or reading
Nevi'im? So you could say so, but you could also argue the opposite, meaning if I put Kriyat HaTorah after the seven aliyahs, So that gives me the impression that everything that comes afterwards is separate from Kriyat HaTorah and has its own independent value. Well, once it's its own independent value, maybe it's an independently significant value, right? Imagine if you had seven aliyahs, then Kaddish, then you just read the HaTorah. So you would think there are two independent mitzvot, Kriyat HaTorah, Kriyat HaNeviim, and they'd be equally significant. So Kaddish itself probably wouldn't be enough to show that one is secondary to the other in terms of importance. That's why you dafka need that extra aliyah of the...
Where do we learn that we're supposed to read from, from the Nevi'im?
So we're deliberately going to leave that question for later. We'll do it one of the subsequent weeks. But the origin of the HaTorah itself is a little bit unclear. Right? The Mishnayot and the Gemaras in Megillah kind of assume that Maftir is relevant, and you'll see it in other Masechtot as well. But you don't get as clear an origin story as you'd like. So it'll come up. I'll probably do that one in several weeks, but that'll be important. There's a Korban HaTanel. So on the page of the commentary of the Rosh, in the back of the Gemaras, there's a commentary of the Korban HaTanel in the footnotes of the Rosh. And he articulates this idea slightly differently, which will have ramifications in just a moment, so we'll keep it in mind. I didn't present it on the source sheets, but I found it after preparing them. He says, first he quotes the idea of Rashi and that idea that you need to read from the Torah to show that the Torah comes first and the Torah is more significant and the Torah is not... this is not an independent mitzvah, it's a sort of secondary to Torah. V'lulei divrayim, says the Korban HaTanel, Nira lefarish div Torah korin chaf alaf psukim lezayin gavre. The mitzvah of Kriyat HaTorah minimally requires 21 psukim, 3 psukim each for 7 aliyahs. And as the Gemara, I think you saw this Gemara, I think I gave it to you, v'chim benavi hamafir lo yivchem yichaf alaf psukim. The minimum HaTorah should be 21 psukim. Well, if you have a mitzvah of Kriyat HaTorah of 21 psukim, and a mitzvah of Kriyat HaTorah, Kriyat Nevi'im of 21 psukim, well, they're both equal sizes. That also makes it sound like they're equally significant. So in order to make it clear that Kriyat HaTorah is more important, you have an extra reader who extends Kriyat HaTorah by an extra couple of verses. Right? The Maftir, reads another 3 psukim. So now there's a minimum of 24 psukim, and that's going to be longer than the minimum size of HaTorah, and that shows the significance.
But I thought it's repeated on Shabbat, so why are you adding the number?
Good, right? So this maybe only makes sense if the Maftir reads a separate reading. So we do that sometimes. For example, on Yom Tov,
right,
the reading is not a repetition from the Parsha. The Dalet Parshiot we're in the middle of right now, so Parshat Para, Parshat right. Shkalim, all of those Parshiot are independent readings. Tosfot on our Gemara, I presented one Tosfot, but there's another piece of Tosfot where he says, you can infer from our Gemara that the original Minhag was actually to read something in addition. In the time of the Gemara, they would always read, minimum 21 psukim plus 3 extras. And only now do we just go back and reread a couple of psukim. And that's a post Talmudic minhag that developed.
And why do we have to add 21 for the haftorah?
So it sounds like it's meant to be, on some level, modeled after Kriyat HaTorah, right? Where it's kind of a mirror image of the Torah reading. But even as a mirror image, it should only be a pale reflection. Right, to extend the metaphor, unfortunately.
You're throwing a lot out of the Nevi'im, but you're saying one aliyah, 21 psukim, where in the Torah reading, it's 7 aliyahs, or readers, call it what you want, over how many psukim.
So that's true, right? You could have argued that just having 7 aliyahs already shows the significance of the Torah over the Nevi'im. The Gemara apparently is concerned that it's not enough covered a Torah.
Grandfathered
in. Right, exactly. Or maybe, the fact that there are more readers doesn't necessarily prove that the institution is more significant. The institution is 21 psukim, right? The actual, the way it will be reflected in the tzibur. The number of readers is just a way to get there. You might make an argument along those lines. Now, I think an important distinction between Rashi and the Korban HaTanel's explanation, which will be reflected in our next question, is how is Kavod HaTorah manifest? Right? Where do you get the Kavod HaTorah from? Rashi sounds like, and the Rimi Lunil and those Rishonim who are with him, sounds like the Kavod HaTorah is in the person reading the Maftir. Meaning to say, the person reading the HaTorah, reading Maftir, should himself show that what he's about to read is not as important as the Torah. So he has to read from the Torah first to show that that's more important, and then the reading of the HaTorah is secondary. Whereas, according to the Korban HaTanel, the way that you show the Torah is more important is by making the amount of Torah that is read greater. Right? So not, it's not vis-a-vis the person who's doing the reading. It's vis-a-vis the Torah that is being read. So you make sure that the Torah is read to a greater extent with more psukim. And that's what shows the honor of the Torah. And I think that trickles down to a similar, we call it a debate, about why the fact that the Maftir needs to read from the Torah means he shouldn't count for the reading itself. Because the Rashba asked a question, it's a very intuitive question. I don't understand. At the end of the day, the Maftir is reading. Why should his reading not count? Da'atu mishum de Maftir mifsal, he should be invalid because he's reading from the Maftir? Doesn't make any sense at all. So there are, let's say, two different explanations, or we can call it three. The Rashba himself has his own answer, but for our purposes, let's focus on the latter two, which is the explanation of the Bahag and the explanation of Rashi. The way the Bahag was understood, I presented this interpretation from an essay I was reading about the subject by Ravishai Vadi. So the way the Bahag understands this is that in order for Kavod HaTorah to be manifest in the Aliyah of the Maftir, it needs to be distinct from the Kriyat HaTorah. Meaning you need to have the seven for Kriyat HaTorah, and then one more that shows that the Torah, that the Kriyat HaTorah is being enhanced or given extra kavod by adding an extra aliyah to it. Right? He infers that from the Bahag's language of Kedei La'asot Kavod LaTorah. To do kavod to the Torah, we add an extra aliyah to the Torah reading to show its significance. It needs to be obvious that you're doing an extra aliyah for the Torah reading before you get to the Maftir. For the Haftarah, thank you. However, Rashi's formulation is that why does the fact that and therefore according to the Bahag, if the aliyah for the Maftir counted to the Kriyat HaTorah, you wouldn't notice, the Torah reading itself wouldn't look any different. Well, if the Torah reading doesn't look any different than the way it would have looked without the Haftorah, so you're not showing that the Torah reading is any more significant. By adding an extra reader, or by adding psukim to the length of the Torah reading, so that makes it clear that the Torah reading itself is more significant.
So that's Maftir is what you're saying.
And that's the extra aliyah that you do. And it has to be a distinct extra aliyah. It can't be someone who's already reading from the Torah, let's say, and counting towards the initial seven. Now, Rashi uses a different formulation. Rashi, in source number 8, says that your reading is for Kavod HaTorah and not for the obligation of the day, and therefore it's not going to count. It sounds like for Rashi, the focus is not on the Torah reading being done in a way that gives kavod to it, but you as a reader reading in a way that gives kavod to the Torah.
How?
So for Rashi, if your reading is for the obligation of the day, then your reading is sort of by default not for the additional kavod of the Torah. Why am I reading? I'm reading because I have a mitzvah today. I'm reading for the chovah of the day. So if mitzvah to have seven aliyahs, that's what my reading is for. And there'd be no way to know that my reading is actually to show kavod to the Torah, to give extra kavod, more than the baseline mitzvah. So that's why the Maftir would need to be an extra aliyah, separate from the original seven, so that there's someone doing an act of Torah reading that is not for the minimal mitzvah, but is above and beyond as an act of kavod to the Torah. So again, I think that those two machlokot line up very nicely, right? Is the idea of Kavod HaTorah in the Torah reading? And in that case, you need an extra aliyah that is recognizable as part of the Torah reading process. Or no, is it extra Kavod that the person shows to the Torah? Me as the Maftir, I have to show Kavod to the Torah. And so I can't be doing it as part of a mitzvah. If I'm doing it as part of a mitzvah, it's not obvious that it's for the Kavod of the Torah. I need to therefore be an extra aliyah that is not counting to the Torah reading. I think those two machlokot line up quite nicely. And so that's our safek in the Gemara. Right? So at the end of the day, you know, that's still one side of the equation. Maybe he shouldn't count for those reasons of giving kavod to the Torah. Or maybe, no, at the end of the day, he is in fact reading. And so he should count to the number of aliyahs to the Torah reading. And the Gemara does not give a conclusion in this matter. The Rishonim do their best. And there are a couple of interesting approaches that Rishonim take in trying to resolve this question. So we saw Rabbeinu Chananel. What does Rabbeinu Chananel say? It's one of the briefest sources I think I've ever given in one of these chaburas. Right? I think that he shouldn't count. That's all he says. Right? So this is sort of interesting. The Rabbeinu Chananel says there's no clear evidence in the Gemara, but my intuition, you know, my well-trained halachic intuition is that you're not going to count. Right? There's a certain... you could call it like a Das Torah sort of idea here, that if you're so deeply immersed in the system of learning Torah, your intuitions are valuable data, and in the absence of other evidence, so this makes a little bit more sense to me, maybe we should paskin this way. That's the first data point in the Psak. The Ran, in source number 10, is another, and this is a more procedural kind of piece of evidence. The Ran says, well, we're not sure, this is what we'd call a suffake, a doubt, an unresolved question. And in the case of a Safek derabanan, this is a rabbinic matter, created Torah is only rabbinic. So Safek derabanan lekula, we should be lenient. What does it mean to be lenient? In the matter of whether the mafia should count to the seven or not. I think you should count, right? The minimum, you'll do require less and have fewer readers. Now we'll see that whether this is a leniency or a stringency becomes a little bit less clear as we go. But the Ran says it's a Safek derabanan lekula. Great, so the Rabbeinu Chananel says he's not going to count. The Ran says, we're not sure, so we should count him, because we could be lenient in matters of rabbinic law. A third approach to a question like this, yeah? 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 So it means that he would go straight to Haftorah. You know, where and when there would be Kaddish would be...
with no break,
obviously. My intuition would be that there would be Kaddish, but the same person who just read Shvi'i would then go on to read the Haftorah, right? And this shouldn't seem so crazy to us. Tosfos notes this already, because we do this sometimes. Where do we have a case where the last Aliyah also gets to do the Haftorah? That's a mincha, right? Rishon, you know, Kohen, Levi, Shlishi, Maftir. The Shlishi is the Maftir, right? And we do the same thing on Tisha B'Av. We do the same thing on Yom Kippur. All those are fast days. That's quite interesting. So that seems to be the practice that, at least in some situations, we're able to do this. We'll get to why in just a moment. But I just want to lay out, and this is just a sort of model for how we resolve these unresolved questions in the Gemara.
Which we're going to go.
Yeah.
How do you compare a 3 to a 7?
Ah, very good. So maybe 3s and 7s are not actually comparable. I was trying to find someone who expresses the idea, and I found, I think, two different formulations that I'll share in just a moment. But we'll get there in just a second.
Wait, 3 of it.
Right, meaning it could be that the 7 we do for Shabbos might not be comparable to the 3 we do on a fast day. And maybe you can count to the 7...
Actually,
oh, you can't count to the 7, but you can't count to the 3. That's possible.
More minor days, and they shouldn't be at the same level.
So maybe we'll be more lenient on those than on Shabbos? It could be. You might make an argument like that. So far we've seen two ways of resolving this question. Number one, you have a well-intuned, well-calibrated halachic intuition, so you intuit that the answer should be they don't count. Number two, you have a klale hapsak, you have just general halachic principles, and the halachic principle is we're going to be lenient in rabbinic matters. Three is you try to find some source that actually resolves it. So the Tosafot Rid does that. He says, I found a Yerushalmi, and the Talmud Yerushalmi is explicit that he does not count. The Maftir is not going to count because the Yerushalmi says, Shiva chus min hamaftir benavi. Okay, so if you find another source, it's very useful. Now, when you find a source in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that's not as good for us, because if the Talmud Bavli doesn't quote that source, so maybe it's not clear that we're going to paskin like it, because the Bavli has the ultimate halachic authority. And that's why the Rishonim try to find proofs from passages in the Talmud Bavli. We saw the Rif used a Gemara and Megillah to that effect in sources 12. Well, the Gemara and Megillah says that when you have Parshat Tetzaveh followed by Shkalim, so you should have 6 people read Tetzaveh, and the 7th through Shkalim, according to Abaye, let's say, and then the 7th goes back and reads just Parshat Shkalim. The Rif says, well, that 7th is obviously the Maftir, right? He goes back and he reads something that you already read, that's classic Maftir behavior. And so that's proof that the Maftir is going to count to the 7. You have 6 readers. The 7th reader, who is the Maftir, is going back and just reading the Parsha of Kitisa. Tosafot Rid says, I don't understand. It's not a proof at all. The Gemara doesn't call that person the Maftir. The Gemara just calls that person the 7th reader. So it could be that the 7th reader, the first 6 are going to go read the whole Parsha. The 7th reader goes back and rereads part of it. And then a Maftir comes back and, again, either reads that part again. That would be 3 readings, which would be a little bit repetitious. Or maybe he reads something ahead, as Tosafot said that was the original minhag in the time of the Gemara. So that's not a proof at all. So you have the same exact dynamic again with the Gemara in Tanit, where the Gemara says that if Tisha B'Av falls on a Monday or Thursday, you have three readers and one maftir. So Tosfot says, well, obviously the one maftir is one of the three readers. And the Rashash comes back and says, no, maybe the maftir is on top of the three readers, and the Gemara is not totally conclusive. So we see the Rishonim who are trying to bring proofs from different Gemaras. You saw those passages. And those proofs tend to be pretty inconclusive, which makes a lot of sense, because if they were conclusive proofs, maybe the Gemara would have quoted them as proofs to resolve the question. So at the end of the day, we're left a little bit rudderless in terms of trying to find definitive answers to this question. Right, there's a passage in the Yerushalmi, there's your intuition, but there's nothing explicitly very clear. And again, you would have expected the Gemara to quote anything that would be very clear. Now, in terms of this question about threes and sevens, which we alluded to already, so Tosfot, in source number 16, brings a proof from the reading on Tisha B'Av, which is a reading of three aliyot. Right? And, well, if the maftir is going to count to that, so the maftir is going to count in general. And the Rishonim seem to assume, for the most part, that whatever you're going to say by a reading of three, you're going to say by a reading of seven. Now, there might be room to distinguish between those two, that you could say that a maftir would not count to a reading of seven, even though he would count to a reading of three. The formulation I liked, and I found this from Rav Schechter's notes from the Rav's Shurim about Hilchot Kriyat HaTorah. So it's a little bit third hand, but it's a nice formulation. Where Rav Schechter says that there's no, you can't bring a proof from fast days. I'll read his you know, key line. De ikara kriya betani, the main reading on fast days, which is, of course, all of the examples, again, Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, and regular fast days. De ikara kriya betani, havya hahaf Torah.
Really?
Says Rav Schechter. When we read Torah reading at Mincha on a fast day, we don't really want to read the Torah at Mincha. We really want to read the Haftorah, but, right, let's say on Yom Kippur, it's Maftir Yonah, or the Vayechal that we read on fast days.
It's usually the prophet chastising the people.
Exactly, right? You're supposed to be getting Musar from the prophets. That's how you kind of culminate the fast days. But you can't read the Haftorah without reading the Torah. That's Kavod HaTorah. So in that case, it makes a lot of sense to say that, well, the whole institution of Torah reading on Mincha on fast days is just to get you to the Haftorah. So, of course, one of the people who gets the Aliyah on the fast day could read the Haftorah. Because the whole point of anyone reading is to get to the Haftorah. That's like saying, well, the Maftir reads on the Torah. Of course, he can't count to the Haftorah. What do you mean? The whole point of reading the Torah is to get to the Haftorah. But it could be, just one second, that on that for normal Kriyas the Torah on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, well, there, the point of the reading is not to get to the Haftorah. The point of the reading is because it's a mitzvah of the day to get to the reading. And so there might be a mitzvah on the day to read all seven. And then once you want to get to Haftorah, that's very nice, but that has to be on top of the initial number of readers. And so it could be that Tosfot's attempted proof isn't going to work because he's trying to compare apples and oranges. The kinds of readings that are independently significant, they may not count a maftir as one of the seven, even if the kinds of readings that are just to get you to the Haftorah might count the maftir as one of the three. So it's a little bit of a breakdown of the comparison. That's the Rav's argument here. Yeah?
So on a fast day, when you're doing like you're reading three and then reading right into the Haftorah, could then the person who's reading the Haftorah be the Kohen or the Levi?
Ooh, so this is very controversial. So maybe we'll end with this. Actually, I have a few more minutes, so let's get to the halacha lemaisa, and then we'll come back to that question, because you saw the note of Yehuda, I think, and towards the end of the sources. So he's dealing with a very similar kind of case. So in terms of the halacha lemaisa, we already noted that we seem to have a split minhag, right? On Shabbos, on Yom Tov, we tend to not count the maftir. On fast days, we tend to count the maftir. So it could be that that's because we like Rav Soloveitchik's idea that fast days, the Mincha on fast days have different rules, and therefore you're going to count the maftir for those, but you're not going to count the maftir in general. It could be that we pass on like Tosfos. Right? Tosfos says that really the halacha is they do count, and that's why on fast days we count the shlishi to be the maftir. Ah, what's going to happen on Shabbos? Why do we add on Shabbos? Because on Shabbos we're able to be yotzei kol adeot. There's no harm in adding extra aliyah on Shabbos. There's no downside to it. On Shabbos, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to add extra aliyahs. So, of course, Shvi could be the maftir if you wanted. But since you're always able to add an extra aliyah, there's no harm in it. So whenever we see this practice in Shul, sometimes we see, you know, seven aliyahs and then an acharon, and it's so weird we're adding aliyahs. Turns out we add aliyahs every single week. We had a special aliyah called maftir that really could have just been shvi'i originally.
So if you count that number seven, and that seventh person goes straight into a parlor,
yeah. So what I think you'd have to say is that even though the point of the maftir reading is to show kavod haTorah, the kriyat haTorah could actually look the same as a regular kriyat haTorah. And the significance of kavod haTorah is that the person reading the haTorah is reading from the Torah first, right? That's a very person-oriented kavod, right? There's no person who reads the haTorah without reading from the Torah first. But the kriyat haTorah itself is going to look exactly the same as it always will. Right, that would probably be the way of poskening like that side. I should know, by the way, that the Mishnah Brura, or the Shulchan Aruch rather, in Poskens the Salacha, I gave you one piece in the Shulchan Aruch, but the one piece afterwards, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Im ta'ashliach tzibur v'siyam aparsha im ashishi." Let's say you accidentally just had six aliyahs. You know, you lost track, you called up six people, and the shliach tzibur didn't realize that he just read through the rest of the parsha, and he finished with shishi. I think he said Kaddish, and then they realized, we didn't call up Shvi. So what should we do? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins in tzarich likrut od acher. You don't need to call a shvi. Rather, ella yikra im hamaftir mashakara im hashishi. The maftir would just go back. He would read that last aliyah again, that seventh person, and that person would also be the maftir. The kaimalan maftir ol lemin and shiva. Because really, we paskin that you can count. The Shulchan Aruch says if you make a mistake and that happens, you're allowed to do it. We don't. Our practice is to add an extra aliyah. But if you made a mistake, you would be allowed to follow that halacha l'maisa. So that's an interesting kind of application. And the Shulchan Aruch basically brings that down l'halacha. So we ask the question, right, could a Kohen or Levi get that aliyah? So that's alluded to a little bit in the discussion of the Rivash, which we saw. The Rivash asks, can one of the other aliyahs to the Torah read the maftir? Right. If we take a person-oriented perspective on Kavod haTorah, namely that the person reading the maftir, the Rav the haTorah, also needs to read from the Torah themselves, so maybe any of the aliyahs count. What's wrong with Kohen? What's wrong with Levi? Anyone read from the Torah will then read the haTorah. No one will doubt that the Kavod of the Torah is more significant. The Rivash says, I don't think this is a good idea. But he says so for a pretty technical reason. He says the concern is someone might come really late to Shul. They'll see someone get up there and start reading the haTorah, and they won't know that 15 minutes ago they were called up for Kohen.
But that could have been there for any situation. And if he's coming in that late, how does he know if he might have missed maftir? He just walked into the door now.
He's saying right as the bracha for the haTorah began.
Right.
So
you're giving that example. He's running late. So what's?
So I'd say there's probably like in Ledever Sof. Like how do you ever solve the problem? Right, but there it's impossible. Like the only way you can minimize the risk of someone misunderstanding how the haTorah works is by having the maftir be right before the haTorah, which is what we do.
It's also very
there's no other way to get around that problem.
You're changing a rule based on people who come late. Right?
Well, we already saw that earlier in the year, right?
Right.
If you're Levi, why do you say you know brachas before and after?
Responsibility to an individual who comes late.
So you could say it one of two ways if you want, right? You could say the Tzibur does have a responsibility to that person. You know what? Baruch Hashem, there are lots of people who come on time to Shul. There are lots of people who don't come on time to Shul. So for the people who don't come on time to Shul, I don't want you to think that we don't have a responsibility to you. We do have a responsibility to you. Now, the other way to say it is just very quickly is that it could be, no, it's not about the responsibility to that person. It's the responsibility we have to the halacha. I don't want people making mistakes on halacha. I know inevitably people are going to come late to shul. I want to avoid confusion. So to avoid confusion, I'm going to structure things to minimize the odds of anyone misunderstanding what's going on.
No offense.
It's not about that person.
No offense, but somebody who comes in as late as haTorah time
has
missed more than half the davening.
He's missed Shacharis entirely.
Yeah, why should we miss guy at 3
o'clock? He's already missed
it's his fault.
We can't be judgmental.
Right. I think we just have to be a little bit more open-minded here, you know? Well, and sometimes people are late for very good... We're not talking about people who are oversleeping. These are people who, you know, they were dealing with pikuach nefesh all morning, and they just finished saving someone's life, and they want to catch Musaf with the minion. So they're coming very late. And they catch the haTorah, too. It's beautiful.
In this scenario, really, degree. Let's say you're having a levy doing haftarah. Is he actually also doing the three tzuchim?
So if you're having, yeah, so I've read the Haftorah before. I'm a Levi, and I'll get called up as Maftir, and I'll read the three psukim in the Torah, and then I'll read the Haftorah.
So it's not a problem, the fact that he did the Torah brachas during the Levi Aliyah, and then he's repeating the Torah brachas.
Good. So that's the Rivash's initial question. Right? Maybe there should be a bracha levatala problem. If you already said bracha de Torah for Levi, now you're going to go back and read the maftir again. So it should be a bracha levatala problem. He says no, because remember, the fact that a Levi makes brachas at all is because of a concern that someone might come after Kohen and not know that Kriyat Torah gets a bracha. Right? The very fact that every single Aliyah says a bracha before and after is because of a gzera, because someone might come late or leave early and not know the halacha. So, and once Chazal say that that's the halacha, it's not a bracha levatala anymore. So too, if we're going to say that the maftir should say brachas, also that's not a bracha levatala problem, because once Chazal said that was the halacha, it's not a bracha levatala anymore. Okay. And that's how the Rivash would answer that question.
Are we saying that we've read all seven aliyahs?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then you, as a lady, you repeated the last three, just like anybody repeats.
Yeah, exactly. Now that you know, normally I would do that when I'm not called up to the Torah and I'm just called up to the Haftorah.
Right.
But the Rivash says, right, the Rivash is dealing with the case where apparently he thinks it is okay if you need to. You know, maybe it's not ideal. It's a little bit unclear whether that's the ideal or not. But if it ever happens, so you don't, you would still go back and you make the brachot again on the Haftorah. Have I ever seen it happen where someone who got an Aliyah also reads the Haftorah? I have not. I've not seen it happen. And yeah, I'm not sure why. I think it's because we have people who are generally, you know, we have enough people in Shul most of the time that we don't need to rely on that. You know, worst case scenario, the Baal Kriya is usually able to do the Haftorah if you need. Especially because we read out of books and we don't read out of cloth, so it's much easier to do a Haftorah, right? All the decuder are there, all the trup is there, so some people don't need the advance notice. Yeah, just one more note kind of along those lines is we concluded with a machloket between the Notabi Yehuda and the Magen Avraham. So, let's say think of a fast day. So you have a Shlishi, and the Shlishi does not know how to read the Haftorah. Right? He never learned the trup, you know, for his bar mitzvah, he only learned the Parsha. He never learned how to read the Haftorah. So what should you do? So the first thing that Rabbi Yehuda says is you could have the Kohen or Levi do it. Right? Based on the Rivash we just saw, sometimes you could have someone who got an Aliyah earlier come and do the Maftir again, and they read from the Torah already. Now they will read from the Torah again. They'll make a bracha again. And that's because of the concern of someone who might come in early or leave late. Who might come in late, rather. But you can't have the Kohen or Levi do it. And then he says, well, what if the Kohen or Levi also don't know? You know, you get three Aliyahs and none of them know how to read the Haftorah. So then you could have another person come and do the Haftorah. And he doesn't even need to read from the Torah. Right? Because unlike on Shabbos, when it's not a problem to add an extra Aliyah, on a fast day you don't add extra Aliyahs. You can't add a Revi'i. And so, since we poskin that the maftir counts to the three, so you've already fulfilled the three, you can't add a new extra aliyah. In such a situation, that person can come. So you can have three people, they don't know how to read, and a fourth person gets up and reads the Haftorah. What's interesting about the Notabi Yehuda is that it sounds like he's poskining that kavod atzibur is a very important value, but it's not ma'akif. Right? You could have a situation where the maftir reads without reading from the Torah. That should be a complete lack of kavod atzibur. Okay, but it's better to read the Haftorah without having covered the Torah than not reading the Haftorah at all. Magen Avraham sounds like that's not the case. Now, he doesn't say you should not read the Haftorah. What the Magen Avraham says is if the Kohen and the Levi and the Yisrael, nobody knows how to do the Haftorah, then makrinoso. What does that mean? It means word for word, copy me. So, I'll read the Haftorah and you'll just copy, you know, word for word as I say it. Right? I'll literally like script it for you. Which sounds like you cannot have someone who didn't read from the Torah and get the Aliyah read the Haftorah. So if the Rishon and the Shlishi and the Shlishi all got called up, they all don't know how to read the Haftorah, you should probably check. You know, ideally you would want to make sure in advance that the Shlishi is going to know how to read the Haftorah. But if he doesn't, you would literally have to script it for him. Now we do something slightly different, and when you're allowed to do this and not is its own complicated question I'm still trying to work out. We would usually do something where we'd have the Shlishi read the brachas for the Haftorah and then someone else would read the Haftorah itself, much like we do for Kriyat HaTorah nowadays. Now, the fact that that's not suggested by the earlier sources is a little bit unclear, and some of the poskim discuss this. When do we do this, when we don't do this? That would probably be how we resolve a question like that. But regardless, the perspective that both of those practices suggest is that, no, Kavod HaTorah is ma'akev. Meaning, you cannot have a person read the Haftorah if they didn't read from the Torah first. And so you need the Shlishi to be able to do it, and you need to either script it for him, and he'll copy you word for word, or he needs to at least make the brachas, and someone else read kind of for him as his shliach, but really it's the Shlishi actually reading. Because Kavod HaTorah is such an essential value for the Haftorah that you cannot possibly skip out on it. Yeah, okay, so let's stop here, but...